Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
We owe it to the migrants that are getting away from these communities, and we owe it to our citizens to offer them a safe society.
That is the voice of April Aguirre, who's a crime victims advocate, who testified, who was among those witnesses testifying yesterday before the official House Judiciary Committee, holding that hearing yesterday into the, quote, Biden-Harris border crisis and giving victim perspectives. And they are examining the effects, investigating, they say, the Biden-Harris administration's open border policies and the impact on American families as well as our communities here. So I'm honored to be joined this morning by April Aguirre, crime victims advocate. April, thank you so much for being here. And you were great yesterday, as you did not back down, even in spite of, I think the truth is, there were Democrats there. There were members of Congress there who just wanted to silence you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me. It's just one thing. These families have gone through enough. And on my watch, I'm not going to put up with disrespect.
And so can you just give me a little bit of background on your story? How did you come to, you know, represent crime victims like 11-year-old Maria, who you talked about, who was brutally ravaged, murdered, and raped before she was murdered? And with that little girl, the way that she died, it's horrendous to think about. How did you come to, you know, be a voice for many victims like Maria, who cannot speak for herself, obviously? And this is the other frustration, I think, April, for you, is probably the lack of media coverage.
Right. So I came into this role because my own niece was murdered in a case of mistaken identity. An individual started shooting into my sister's vehicle, and he unloaded his whole clip. Unfortunately, one of those bullets struck and killed my niece when she was shot in the head. When we were pushed into this room, we lived a very quiet life. We didn't have any knowledge of the criminal justice system, and we were completely lost. And we realized that there was something missing there, that there was nobody there to bridge the gap between just an average everyday person, and now you are a victim, and you don't even know where the courthouse is. So we started fighting a personal battle. And while fighting this personal battle that has been very public here in Houston, Texas, and my niece's name is Arlene Alvarez, we started gaining momentum because so many families were going through the same things we were going through. And then families started reaching out, needing help and assistance. And we have a very soft spot for children. Obviously, we can't help everybody because we're just normal people. Nobody pays us for this, right? But we are helping everybody that we can because victims are the only ones that don't choose to be a part of the criminal justice system. And that's how I started representing families and helping them completely free of cost. In the last 2.5 years, we have raised about $400,000 to help with funeral expenses and to help with expenses in general. So grieving families don't have to worry about things like the rent and the light bill, which don't stop coming because you're in a crisis. So Maria Gonzalez's case resonated with me. I am from Pasadena, Texas myself, and I know that to be a safe community. And when I got a hold of her case, it's just a detrimental case. I cannot imagine what the last moments of life for Maria were like. Although she was also a migrant child, she attended American schools and she had been here for quite a few years and was accustomed to the American ways and felt safe in her home. There was no reason she should have perished.
I want to interrupt real quick because you told a story, April, to Congress yesterday of a message she received on WhatsApp from her father. That was the last thing. And I want you to retell that story if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so her father had left. The predator lived within the apartment complex with him that had been in our country for under 3 weeks. He had already learned that her father worked to work and worked long hours. So he left early in the morning and came back later in the evening. But Maria, being 11 years old and having relatives within the same apartment complex, was safe, you know. She was cared for. And when her dad left, she fell back to sleep. And she heard knocking on her door. And they use WhatsApp because she doesn't have real cell service. They just operate off of Wi-Fi. because a lot of people are like, well, why didn't she call her dad? Well, they don't have cell service. So on this WhatsApp message, it's kind of like a voice message on iPhone. And she left a voice message on iPhone for her dad saying, hey, are you knocking on my door? Someone's knocking on the door. Did you forget something? And that's the last time he ever heard from Maria. So at this point, Maria gets up and goes and looks out the peephole and see that it's a neighbor. And there's that little chain in the apartment doors that allow you to open the door and give you a sense of safety. Yes. It's like a tiny, tiny chain. Well, this guy, as soon as knowing Maria was alone, pushed his way into the apartment. I personally helped Mr. Gonzalez move out of that apartment. When I tell you this little girl fought for her life, the house was in disarray. You would have thought that 10 people fought in that apartment. That baby didn't want to die. And as much as her dad doesn't even speak English, he had her in martial arts classes. I mean, he was doing his best to give her the American life. She spoke English. Her father didn't. She was going to these after-school programs that her father was scraping up the money to put her in. I mean, he was really doing what all migrants, what I believe real good migrants want to do, just be good parents and give their kids a better life.
Yeah.
And this individual just saw her as prey.
Yeah, it's sick. And your statement that these individuals are wolves in sheep's cloth, that's exactly right.
They are. He came into this country and he said he was afraid. He made a statement to DHS and said he was afraid of the gang violence in his country, but he was not afraid to take the life of a little girl.
And so, you know, I want to ask you, April, and I'm, first of all, I'm so sorry for the loss of your 9-year-old niece, Arlene Alvarez. But there's not a ton of coverage, but I did see that Arlene's parents, Gwen and Armando, that they had spoken out after a grand jury there in Harris County, Texas, had declined to indict the man accused of killing your niece. Can you update us on the latest with that man? So I can't even wrap my brain around your grief, but also the fact that it does not appear that there's justice in this case.
No, there's not. And so this is, we live in a city where it's very liberal. The sympathy is completely all for the criminals. And I want you to know that I always say that I'm ashamed that I myself put a lot of these people in office just because of being unaware of what we were voting for. And this is why we preach the importance of knowing who you're putting in office and what their core qualities are. I want you to know that we as a family have worked diligently. We had to hire our own team to recreate the crime scene. We presented new evidence to a board and they were compelled, legally bound, to reopen our case. So now he has been charged with murder and we're awaiting trial.
Good for you, but that's terrible that you had to do that. When you watch, did you watch last night's debate? And
yes, ma'am.
What did you think about it as far as, you know, President Trump talking about securing our borders, talking about really, really talking about what you've been talking about, that we need to make our country safe for everybody?
It's not a secret that I support Donald Trump, and I'm going to tell you why. We spend millions and billions of dollars securing the Ukraine border, but we don't secure our borders. We have the money to do it somewhere else, but we won't secure our borders. I ask people not to hear these promises, but to look at what that administration has done, because they have blood on their hands. And the American public is not dumb. If she wanted to end that war in Ukraine, she would. And that would return more money to our country so that we can use it for Americans.
Yes.
And if she wanted to close that border today, she would. She has the ability to. The administration has the ability to. If she wanted to lower the price on groceries, she would. But she doesn't.
April, in a moment, I want you to tell us about how we can support you and support your advocacy. But I also want to ask you, as far as those listening in that are part of sanctuary cities across the country. So in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where I'm broadcasting from, we're a sanctuary city. So I have to go through great lengths to find sources who I don't name, who are trusted sources who can, for example, in Philadelphia, Chester County and the collar, the suburban counties. And this is really across the country. You know this well, but because they're sanctuary municipalities, the police officers get in trouble if they put in their report that an individual, that an offender or a criminal or an accused criminal is actually not here legally. What do you say about these sanctuary policies?
The sanctuary policies are troubling, and what they actually do is they create an environment for predators to thrive. So you have a situation where officers pull people over and can do nothing. And so they can't ask them their status, meaning that at no point anybody ever vets these individuals. They cross the border already unvetted, and if they run into any type of criminal situation here in the United States, they also can't be questioned about their criminal past, meaning that nobody ever dives into their criminal past to know what we're dealing with. So a lot of the time you're dealing with gang members, you're dealing with serial sexual predators or murderers in their own country, and officers here don't even know it.
I know Dan Borowski had another question, our executive producer.
Yeah, April. So you gave out your number, a very brave move on national television, and it was broadcast. And you clearly said, you know, you've heard from Republicans, but not from Democrats. And I'm curious, after giving your number to Democrats, have you heard from anybody since?
You know, that particular Democrat that belittled crime victims team did reach out, and they're like, how can we help? And I gave them homework. And I said, you need to determine what were the failures here, and here's my email, report back. They need to understand that these families were failed miserably, right? Now, I want you to know that that particular congresswoman, her husband is an immigration attorney. So it's really interesting dynamics that she probably gets a lot of kickback from being able to represent migrants. Her husband, it's like a revolving door for them of money. So I see her interest in wanting to keep the border open financially for her and her family on a personal basis. But that's the only one. My number's out there. My number's already very public just because of the work that I do. I'm always available via phone, text, and email. Everything's there on my Twitter. And even if it's just a little piece of advice, I try to help as many people as I can, because nobody's out there to do this. We have so many programs here within my own city that are there to help criminals and help them navigate the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
They even have legal assistance to these individuals, but there's nothing really there for victims.
And which, you know, I do want to get information from you, and I think we all want to know, how can we support you? Do you also have a nonprofit? You know, what? Tell us a little bit more about your advocacy.
So we're getting everything set up legally to set up a nonprofit, and we'll be launching a website here in the next month. I was a little taken aback at the interest of the foundation, which I hope grows and that we can gain more volunteers, because right now I'm a one-woman team. And so we're growing. I never thought it was going to get this big. I usually just represent people here within my own city and community, but there's so much need that we're going to broaden. And everything will be put on my Twitter. It's April Aguirre, Texas, with double R. And we hope that we can help people nationally, again, even if it's just by giving them wholesome advice.
And, you know, yesterday, just the dynamic, April, when you were there, because obviously you were there with Patty Morin, the mother of Rachel Morin, who's a victim, you know, other victims from across the country. I would love to know more about your interaction with the lawmakers who called you, and then as well coordinating with other, you know, family members who are like you. Their loved one was murdered by somebody who came here illegally, and they are a predator.
Right. So it was Jim Jordan, the chairman, Jim Jordan's team that reached out, because they were actually doing some work on determining the failures of the border on how these murders happened, because Maria Gonzalez's case got kind of large, right? Mm-hmm. And so it did gain national attention. And that's how they got a hold of me, because they saw that I was the media contact for the family. And mind you, I'll have you know that Mr. Gonzalez does not speak English. So this is the importance of being able to give these people a voice, right? So we come here and we bridge that gap, and on their behalf, give adequate representation for Maria and other victims alike. But I just want you to know that these families are paying the price every single day. Anytime they sit down to have a bite to eat in their home, there is an empty chair on the table. Loss is forever. It's not just in that moment. All these politicians go back to the safety of their homes and, you know, gated communities and fancy cars. They don't even ride up the same elevator as regular folks. So that's my frustration with them. They don't have to deal with the consequences of an open border. They don't have to deal with the consequences of living in a sanctuary city because the people that they have there are not within their safe communities. They're in the communities of low income and middle class families.
April Aguirre, I hope that once you get everything set up, because we want to know more about you, your what you're doing and organizing here. It's first of all, you're just an amazing woman, and we want to be supportive of you. So I hope that you keep in touch when you get it all. Like you're saying, the website, I want to put that out there immediately. Hope you come back. But April Aguirre, thank you so much. You are a bright light in this world. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and I hope that I can encourage victims to keep on fighting. And if they're not reaching out to you, you reach out to them, because the more that they hear from victims' stories, the less they can continue with this false narrative.
April Aguirre, thank you so much. So brave and fight, fight, fight. Love her message. Jordan sending a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland surrounding these recent reports that one of the lead attorneys who's defending Google in the case, it's a high profile, you know, antitrust case that we've talked about with DOJ, Department of Justice, is this lawyer is also an advisor directly to Vice President Harris ahead of the presidential debate. And so, you think there might be a little conflict there that, you know, he's representing Google? Do you think, is there any conflict? Do you see anything there, Dan?
Yeah, there's probably a conflict there, Dawn.
So it's Karen Dunn. She is lead attorney representing Google. And they're saying that this really raises a lot of flags, a lot of concerns over whether Karen Dunn's relationship with, you know, the vice president of the United States and key figures as well in the Biden-Harris administration, maybe this creates a conflict of interest that could inappropriately bias the department's approach in this case. I'm quoting from one of the pieces of this letter, but it says that he's detailing this in the case, sent it to Merrick Garland. I don't know if Merrick wrote back yet. You think he wrote back quickly? I don't think so. But they're saying that given the potential conflict of interest, we request a briefing on how the Department of Justice is working to combat this, as well as other potential conflicts of interest and political bias in the case of the United States v. Google. And we respectfully ask your staff to arrange the briefing as soon as possible. But they give a deadline no later than 5 p.m. September 24th, 2024. So we'll see. We'll see if they respond and how they respond. Let's get to your calls, 855-839-1210, the number to call. We have Chris in Garnet Valley. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
How you doing? Good. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I listen to your show pretty much every day.
Thanks, Chris.
And I just wanted to say that, you know, your show has opened my eyes a lot, although I am a right, you know, I'm not a lefty, I'm right. But I watched last night's debate, and I felt sorry for former President Trump because of the fact that he is not a polished politician and being able to finesse his words so elegantly as Kamala and the rest of them. He is a businessman, and he is in numbers, a percentage, mm-hmm. and a negotiator. And that's how he got to where he is today.
Yeah.
And when she touted him with inheriting billions of dollars or millions of dollars,
that was a lot.
I feel as though he should have said, "Yes, I did inherit some money," if he did, in fact. But he turned it into billions of dollars by strategic business moves and decisions, where some might think that those moves are harsh. But that's the way business gets done, mm-hmm. not hipping and hopping around. And I don't know, saying one thing and doing the other. He gets it done. And he should have said, I will do the same thing for the America people, for the United States of America. And also he should have said, look at my children. My children are successful in the business world, unlike President Biden and Hunter Biden, his son, who are caught up in overseas nonsense and factual fraud, avoiding taxation, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And also, one last thing, her flip-flopping, her policy plans. Well, thousands of people lost their jobs when the Democrats took office. And they shut down the pipeline. I know that for a fact because my husband worked on the pipeline. Boom. They're gone. There's no more. No more fracking. Now she says okay to fracking. Okay? But, and then I wish he would have said, why do, now I know this might seem harsh, but why do new mothers need $6,000? They decided and chose to start a family. I didn't get a $6,000 bump. I raised four children, sent them through college, and all of that. The plan, I believe, is for the 14 and the 16-year-olds that are still living with auntie because they got pregnant while their parents are out there strung out on fentanyl coming in from the drug lords that are invading and flooding our borders with this poison. I could go on and on.
Yes.
But like I said, he's not as polished speaking as her and the rest of the politicians. He just says it bluntly, and I think he comes across, like she says, let's turn the page. Let's move forward.
And let's hear
stop
it.
The blame game.
You want to hear a piece of Trump? No? Okay. I thought Dan wanted to play
it.
A piece of him. And thank you. I think we're losing. I think we lost you a little bit, so I apologize. But I thank you for giving that insight, and especially since your husband is one of those people who can speak to the fact that, you know, what has happened under this administration, and not just the Biden-Harris administration as far as losing jobs, but as well, when we think about these tough regulations that are being imposed at a state level as well, and driving the jobs away, either to the South, or in some cases, I had told you about the big contract for countries like Qatar, which is really benefiting from the Biden-Harris policies. So we have a lot to talk about. I do have to take a quick break. Real treat for you. Kathy Barnett is going to be in the house. So we'll talk to Kathy, get her take. And even though it's September, it still is technically summertime, which is also road trip season for many of us. But do you really know if your vehicle's road trip ready? My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help make sure that you and your family are safe out on the roads. These service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle all your regular maintenance needs, but they're going to diagnose possible issues before they can happen, obviously before you hit the road. So schedule a service appointment online today. Do this. PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for the dealer nearest you, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, PIAZZA. PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. What does that mean? You know what I mean? It's like if your grandpa says, well, in today's dollars, you know, or in back in the day, you know, bread was whatever, $5 a loaf. But in today's dollars, that's like $10. It's like, what? Like, that's what that is.
Extrapolating. I love it.
It's crazy. Because I was like, he inherited $400+ million. How did I not know that? Because I've read everything about Trump, and it's because they're doing it in 2018 dollars. So he didn't inherit that amount that they give. They're guesstimating that based on 2018 dollars. So what does that mean? I guess his parents did set up like a trust fund or a savings account for all their kids, and so it was growing or whatever, but he has said it was, I think, $1 million that he inherited from his father, Fred, but you know, whatever.
Is that how we're going to do things now? We're just going to summarize everything's prices in today's terms?
Yeah.
Come on.
Give me a break. It's just, the New York Times, shame on them. You know, it was, remember during the 2016 election, I think it was like 2015, and my husband and I, we canceled our subscription because we get everything because we're news people, so we have to. And we canceled it, and a lot of people did. And then remember, because they had those horrible articles about Trump where they just lied. It was awful, and they did apologize. Remember that back in the day? They did apologize. And so then we renewed it. Now maybe we have to just cancel it.
what's the point of this?
So it annoys me when a publication like that, they know that everybody's going to pick up the headline and see the headline, and they properly wrote in $2018. What the heck is that?
Come on.
Give me a break.
In $2018.
Yeah. 855-839-1210, the number to call. Kathy Barnett, I don't know if we're going to have to. She didn't call in yet. I got to text her. She's busy.
Yeah, she's okay? a busy woman.
She's a busy mom. It's back to school. I know I'm losing my mind during back to school, you know, because we have parent meetings and parent back to school nights.
It's How's that going?
Awesome. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it, but it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Do you have like a camaraderie with the other parents?
Oh,
or are you the kind of person that like just doesn't want to associate?
Oh, no. We're like,
you're, like, part
as a matter of fact, I'm getting, no, I'm getting mom texts right now. Like,
what are you, a mom
who's bringing
chain?
The, oh yeah, we have our group text.
So do you guys talk about things other than business? Like, was there chatter last night about the debate?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nobody talks politics.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, because not the whole, well, privately. Well,
do they know what you do?
Oh, yeah. They listen.
Okay, gotcha.
They listen.
Rogue in this group.
So if we're at an event, you know, and it's just us MAGA moms, there's a whole group of us, then, of course, we'll talk about it. The funniest story, I don't know if I should tell the story. There's one mom who's one of my fellow MAGA moms, and I don't even know if I should tell this story, but it's so funny. Her son is actually, and we're all football moms, too. Her son is actually named Brandon, and he's a wonderful player. Well, she has T-shirts. Let's go, Brandon.
I love it.
Somebody came up to her and was like, really? Really? You're wearing that shirt at a game? Like, have you no pride? Let's go, Brandon. Do you know what that means?
While wearing a Hate Has No Home shirt.
That's so vulgar. And she's like, what are you talking about? That's my son. It's Brandon. And then they were like, oh, I'm so sorry. So we can legit say, let's go, Brandon. It's a good thing. 855-839-1210. Stanley is in Fairless Hills. And I know that you wanted to talk about our last guest, April Aguirre. Hey, Stanley.
Yes. Good morning. I want to commend the staff and the program. It's very informative. And God bless America. And thank goodness our freedom hasn't been totally eliminated or taken away. It's really sad to see, and I'm really outraged and furious that the American public is not motivated and protesting at what's happening at our borders and the economy and what this administration has done. They've systematically dismantled our economy and destroyed the American dream. And they stand on stage and tell us what they're going to do when they've already had 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily am beholden to any party selection, but I will say this. I look at things in basic terms. I'm a senior. I live on a fixed income. And I look at what my dollar was buying and the cost of living under Donald Trump. And I look under Biden-Harris administration and what has happened. You can only stretch a dollar so far. It's not made of rubber. And I think Goodyear's rubber company, his stock is flying through the roof under their administration. It's a real atrocity and an offensive atrocity against the American public that they turn around and insult our intelligence and have no dignity, respect, and honor for what calling themselves Americans and are in offices that are appointed to help citizens and the constituents and turn around and deface our country, our flag, and make a mockery of the freedom that was granted by all those that have given the ultimate sacrifice and then some, and sit here and go, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I commend the staff, you and the staff and the program, for bringing a voice to the American people. But without being motivated, without having protests go on by the American public, of which they're not able to do, because so many of us are struggling to keep food on the table and a roof over our heads, that they're struggling to go to jobs and keep that happening and provide for their families. And now every bit of of crumbs are being taken away.
So true.
And they lie. And they lie.
They do. Stanley, and thank you so much for calling. I think you're so eloquent. You're 100% correct. And on this day, with new economic numbers, inflation rising 2.5% in August, and the headline is a lot of the headlines from biased media, well, inflation numbers are good because it's less than expected. Okay? It's less than they expected. Okay? Inflation rises less than expected, which is a good thing, right? But that's kind of like saying, you know, you're trying to lose weight, and so you went to your friend's house and you go, I got to step on the scale. I got to go for my weigh-in, right? And I probably gained 4 pounds because I've been naughty. And then you step on the scale and you go, oh, I only gained 2.5 pounds. That's what that's like. Do you know what I'm saying? You still gained weight. You didn't go the other direction. So I have to lose weight. Because the outfit I wanted to wear for tomorrow night.
It's
I know. Because Don Jr. is here. So I was like trying on clothes. I'm like, ooh, haven't put this dress on for a while. Should have lost more weight. David's like, Mom, how much weight do you need to lose? I'm like, well, maybe 10 pounds. He's like, just get out of here. You're not going to lose that by Thursday night, Mom. I'm like, shut up.
Thanks, David. Seriously. You can just keep your mouth shut if you don't have anything kind to say.
But then he did say, Mom, you look great. You know, because he's his father's son. He's like, but you look great, Mom. You're beautiful. I'm like, oh, look, Dad's been, you've been learning from Dad. Just say nice things and stop talking. So good to have you here, Kathy. What do you make of Trump and Harris last night?
Yeah, you know, I have a, thank you so much for having me on, Don. I love you. I adore you. But I was talking to a good friend who's sitting here with me right now, and I'm going to repeat what he said, which was, if you are a Kamala Harris fan, she won. If you are a fan of Donald Trump, you feel as though it was a fight 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the general takeaway from all of this. And once again, Republicans allowed Donald Trump to walk into a feeding frenzy. And now we're all complaining that he walked into a feeding frenzy. I think, you know, again, as I've always said, I did it in my own election. I was trying to do it when I was with Vivek. Is that this is going to be won at the ground level. We're going to we're going to win this at the doors, knocking on the doors, going from place to place, talking to as many people as we can, and winning our, making our case, our best case in front of the American people. They're not going to get it from the top down with these commercials, with the TV ads, with, you know, these, top down kind of interviews. They're just not going to get it. It's not working. I'm hopeful that the Republican Party, the political consultants, can see that. Instead of sending people like Jeff Bartos, who barely won 5% of the election in that primary in 2022, send better people, people who actually know how to relate and who are authentic and the people can connect with. That is how we're going to win this race here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's funny because Jeff, I saw him at one of the Trump Force 47 events, and he goes, you know, Kathy, I don't know what she thinks of me, but the truth is, Jeff said, Kathy was right about everything. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And so was, I said, you guys.
Jeff is, you know, I had a great time with every single person besides Carla Sands, a horrible person, I can assure you. But outside of Carla Sands, I enjoyed everyone.
Yeah.
But this isn't about making new friends. I have enough friends. I'm not looking for new friends. I'm looking to win. That should be the only thing on the top of our mind. And right now, I mean, how in the world did Kamala Harris, who is barely able to make a coherent sentence on any other day, magically had a response. She never answered any of the questions, but she had an articulate response, right? How do we know that? I mean, the Dana who runs ABC is her best friend. He's the one who introduced her to her now husband. But we're all supposed to pretend that we did not know Donald Trump was going to be ganged up on.
Mm-hmm.
No, we know this. We got to stop acting like we're new to all of this. We're not new. We bought the T-shirts. We know how this is going to end. Flashback to 2020. These people are not playing with us, and we need better people on the ground who actually know where our votes are. And I am hopeful that the Trump campaign people can get their head out of the sand, recognize that, and employ the right kind of people with the right kind of message and authenticity to go out here and beat the bushes to find these votes that we're going to need come November.
Yeah, and so what does that look like? I mean, because right now I think Democrats are worried that Kamala really won't excite the Democrat base, for example, here in Philadelphia. The people won't be excited. You think that they are, that she is exciting the Democrat base or even
no,
people?
No, Kamala isn't. Mm-hmm. Kamala, I mean, Kamala doesn't have to do much.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to hide in the basement, and the media is writing all the headlines. And yep. Right now, the headlines is she won. And unfortunately, all of our voters are not, I mean, you know, Democrat voters are definitely not up to speed on what's really going on. But it's just a ruse. She's a character. Mm-hmm. She's an actor. Nobody's excited about Kamala. And we can be what time and unburdened by what has been. Nobody's excited about any of that. But that's not the point. The point is that it's exactly what we just saw in 2020. No one was excited about Joe Biden, and yet Joe Biden and Kamala Harris has been occupying the White House for 3.5 years.
Amen.
It's not about that. We have a better story to tell, but we need better people to get out there on the ground and start implementing these strategies. I believe the Black vote, the Hispanic vote, Chinatown, they were mine. They were holding fundraisers for me, the Amish. We know where these people are.
Yep.
I believe they're all open to Donald Trump. But I think in our arrogance, we just think, hey, we build it, they will come. That's not going to happen. The apathy is real. I saw this when I was traveling the nation with Vivek. The apathy in our country is real. I'm not apathetic. What I'm watching,
you're
what you're watching, it's going to run us. We're going to run to the polls.
Speaking of running.
That's the reality.
Speaking of running, I got to run because we got to get to Dom. But we were short on time today, Kathy. You know, I love you. Everybody loves you. Can you come back later this week? Can we?
Don, you just asked. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Have a beautiful day and we'll talk soon. Kathy Barnett, the best. Army veteran, mom, homeschool mom, author, the original Anjali woman, if you remember that commercial, if you've studied it. And of course, ran for the Senate, as you well know. And also a commentator, TV broadcaster. So love Kathy. She'll be back later this week. We got to go to Dom Giordano. How was the spin room last night? Great job, Dom.
Well, thank you, Dawn. Yes, particularly with Anthony Scaramucci. We had a little bit of a deficit in some of the stuff. But when I asked him about trolling Trump, we got into where was he headquartered. He said he was right there in front of me. I think he was at the Constitution Center trying to eyeball Trump. So we'll play a lot of that. Kristi Noem was very impressive, Dawn, in a lot of ways. We'll play that. And Taylor Swift saying she doesn't want chaos. Hey, Taylor, go to Springfield, Ohio. Do a concert there. Let's see what chaos is.
Good idea. Dom Show is right now.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.